right. Well, good morning, everybody. I don't know about you, but this morning came around pretty quick for me. I didn't know whether to say good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning. But anyway, you've got your Bibles open there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. And the title of this session this morning is Our Performance Appraisals. It sort of fits with the topic we looked at last night, the first reference to the rapture of the church in the Bible, John 14, verses 1 through 4. And so, immediately following the rapture, what can we, as God's people, expect to transpire? Well, I'm here to tell you that there's a judgment in your future as a Christian. I was on a trip to Israel in 2014. That's where I met Michael. And you remember, Michael, we went to Greece and Corinth. Yeah, you'll recognize some of these pictures. You can be at ease, though. I don't have any pictures of you up here. No quick, unpleasant surprises, you know. No one likes their picture flashed up in front of everybody. But in this part of the world, you can visit a place called Corinth. Corinth is in an area that we call Greece, and there's Corinth that sits on a Isthmian land bridge, and I'm not just surfacing information to bore you. This is all information that's relevant to our passage today, because this is a group of people that Paul is speaking to, and he's using geography, as we're going to see, to communicate to them a spiritual point. And in Corinth, there's a lot of things to look at and to visit, but one of the most interesting things is the Bema seat in Corinth. And so there's a picture of me going up to the Bema seat. You get up to the top there, and there's a kind of a rock, and they have a scripture verse there that you can see. But what is this Bema seat exactly? Because if you can understand the Bema seat, you can understand what Paul is trying to communicate to the Corinthian church. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be flipping around quite a bit, but over in Acts 18 and verse 12, which is a record of Paul's ministry in Corinth, it says, but while Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat. Judgment seat is the Bema seat. So what is this Bema seat? Well, it's an actual place in Corinth where the city magistrates, sort of like a city council, I guess we could say, rendered decisions. And so what the Apostle Paul does is he uses this Bema seat that they knew about in Corinth to the Corinthian church to teach them a spiritual lesson. And he says, just as this Bema seat in Corinth renders decisions, there is a judgment in your future as a Christian. There's an exam in your future, in other words. Now, isn't it interesting that when we have an exam in our future, professionally, career-wise, school-wise, it kind of changes our behavior in the present? Have you noticed that? When I was going through my PhD studies at Dallas Seminary, they told me they were going to give me a comprehensive exam, which consisted of a week of written exams and a three-hour oral exam in front of four of my professors. So I went through that PhD program with the knowledge that there was this judgment coming. And do you think that shaped my behavior as a student? I knew it was coming, so I was far more diligent. Every time a professor said something that they thought was important, I made sure to write it down and know about it, etc., because I could be asked about that in this future judgment. So I think this is one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit has revealed this judgment for us, because it changes the decisions we make as Christians, changes our choices and it changes our priorities. So what I would like to work through with you this morning are basically the six questions that journalists ask. The when question, the where question, the who question, the why question, the what question, and the how question. So we can understand this judgment seat in its entirety, so we can get the full breadth of God's Word, and so we can allow prophetic truth to change the way we live. Amen? I mean, isn't that the point of prophecy? One of the tragedies about becoming a student of prophecy and going to prophecy conferences is a lot of people think the name of the game is just to fill the head with information. And we're going to fill your head with some information. No, don't worry about that. But if that information isn't changing the way we live, then what good is it at the end of the day? It's just dead, what we would call dead orthodoxy. So with that in mind, let's take a look at this Bema Seat Judgment of Christ. Number one, the when question. When exactly is this going to take place? And the simple answer to that is it's going to take place after the rapture. I'm sort of the persuasion that it's going to take place immediately after the rapture. So if we are the rapture generation, I can't guarantee you that we are, I sure hope we are, and we're caught up to be with the Lord, what can we expect to materialize? Well, we can expect to materialize very quick is this Bema Seat Judgment of Rewards. And what you'll notice in the Scripture is that rewards, and what did we do here? Did I click something off or did I click a button off? You know, you live by technology, you die by technology. And let me know when it goes on behind me. You know, Paul the Apostle did pretty well with all this technology, so I think we'll survive. But one of the things that you find in the Bible is that there's a connection between the coming of the Lord for His church and the future judgment. Behind me. All right, very good. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Notice what it says here. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time. Wow, there's a lesson in that, isn't there? Don't we have a tendency to be very judgmental in the body of Christ? Judgmental towards other people, judgmental towards other people's motives. Paul says, knock that off, because God says, I'm going to take care of that. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the appointed time, but wait until the Lord comes. When is the Lord coming for His church? In the rapture. Because when the Lord comes, He will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come from God. You see the connection there between the Lord coming and this judgment seat. So what I would say is this, when is this judgment seat going to take place? It's going to take place when the Lord comes for His church, which we believe is at the point of the rapture. 2 Timothy 4 verse 8, you can jot that one down. We don't have time to look at it. Teaches virtually the same thing. And it is interesting that when you get to Revelation 19 verse 8, which is not a rapture passage. That's a second Advent passage at the end of Daniel's 70th week. The bride is now the wife of the Lamb, and she is returning, and the best I can tell is she has already been rewarded. Because it says in Revelation 19 verse 10, it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. She's already rewarded. So at some period of time between the rapture, which happens at least 7 years before the second advent, and the second advent itself, this judgment will take place. And as I mentioned before, I'm sort of the persuasion that it will take place very rapidly following the rapture. So question number one, when will this judgment take place? The answer to that is after the rapture of the church when the church is in heaven.